500 years before Jesus, there was a war going on. Darius the Persian was conquering the world, and he had his sights set on Greece. And in looking at the two largest city-states in Greece, Athens and Sparta, he had set his sights on Athens. And the Athenians, as they realized the the Persian fleet was approaching, they looked and they realized they were outnumbered 4-1. And so they sent and dispatched a runner to Sparta to go and ask for help. The runner's name was named Pheidippides. He was dispatched and he took the journey, ran overnight some 90 miles, and he took that run in 36 hours. As he reached Sparta, he talked about the Athenians' needs and about the invading Persian fleet, and the Spartans said, "Listen, we can't help because we're in the middle of a religious festival. And we're not going to be able to help until it is that this festival's over and there's a new moon, and that's going to be 6 more days." From what I understand, Pheidippides went ahead and took rest for a moment and then ran all the way back to Athens to deliver the news so that the Athenians would not be hung out to dry. In the course of 2 days, as historians record, he ran a total of about 150 miles. And then, again, as history records, he went ahead and went on to the Battle of Marathon. And what's passed into legend is that there was another 20 miles or so between Athens and Marathon, and Pheidippides, as the Athenians routed and destroyed the Persians, even though they were outnumbered, there was a runner that ran all the way back to Athens, and some recorded as Pheidippides, but as he got there, he declared victory and then fell down dead. You look at the fact that Pheidippides wore the title of Hemerodrome, which is translated a herald, or a day runner, a professional running courier, day-long runner. And this title, as I understand it, was bestowed upon those, and it was almost bestowed in a very sacred sense, a religious duty. It was his job to run. It was his job to deliver news for the Greeks. And I think about us as preachers, as heralds, and how it is that in many respects it's our job to run and to be a herald of news, and we share in the task of delivering news. Sunday evenings I appreciate very, very much. After preaching all day, you know, one of the things I look forward to first is taking off these very uncomfortable Sunday shoes. You know why? Because after being on your feet, and after being on your tiptoes, and after walking around from saint to saint and from visitor to visitor and visiting with the people of God and trying to encourage and help, the first thing I enjoy doing is taking off those shoes and taking off those socks and saying, "Man, my dogs are barking." I don't necessarily know that I feel the same pain that Pheidippides felt whenever it was that he ran those 150 miles in those 2 days, as is recorded. But I know how good it feels, and I think about if we've been faithful in running and delivering a gospel message and faithfully declaring our God reigns, and we've been exhausted by the journey from start to finish only to take some rest, to get back up, and to continue the next week and start it all over so we can declare our God reigns. Problem is that sometimes we as preachers and teachers can get tired. We can get tired feet, where we feel like we can't go on, where we feel like we can't take one more step, where we don't feel like fighting one more battle, and we can get tired hearts because there's people in the congregations that we work with that maybe disappoint us, and we try to preach and teach to them and in love tell them, "Listen, the way that you're living is not good and you need to change, you need to make changes," and then they go on doing whatever it is that they're going to do, and you just feel like your heart's tired. You got tired hands because we sometimes feel like we've worked and we've labored and we've carried the message and it doesn't necessarily feel like it's made any difference. We can get tired eyes because we've looked at the work we've done and maybe with exhaustion look at the work that's left to do and don't know if we can do it. But our title doesn't change. We are still heralds. We are still day runners. And the message still doesn't change. Our God reigns. We win. Victory. Brothers and sisters, this morning as I want to make this kind of a shot in the arm for preachers and teachers, I want you to understand that renewed vigor in the Lord's service comes from refocusing on the King and upon His message. A shot in the arm for preacher means that we refocus and say, our God reigns. Our message is all about the reigning Jesus from the mouth of the proclaimers carried by your beautiful feet, the feet of day-long runners, gospel preachers, because that's what we do. 3 points for you this morning to consider from this song. Chant, hit the space bar, please. Number one, proclamation. Proclamation. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Good news. Announcing peace. Proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. The passage comes from Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. And the context, the historical context, as I understand it, comes from the 70 years of Babylon and the exile in Medo-Persia. And can you imagine those people that were taken captive and that had made their home now in a land that wasn't theirs, a land that God had not promised to them, and they'd been there because of their disobedience? Can you imagine putting yourself in their shoes and thinking about how they felt? Felt wounded. They felt dejected, forsaken, alone, let down, empty. Felt cheap. Felt worried. And yet here's this picture. That over the top of the mountain comes this messenger, running, proclaiming peace, bringing glad tidings of good things, and proclaiming salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Paul took by inspiration this passage and others to make the point that we as preachers are heralds in Romans chapter 10 of the good news that our God reigns. Brothers and sisters, brothers that preach, people are counting on you to deliver this message as a runner of the gospel. And we can feel the weight of it. But there's people that are hurt and sorrowing and dejected and alone and feel let down and feel empty and feel cheap and feel worried. And what they so need to hear is there is a God in heaven and He has exalted Jesus Christ to the highest place, and through Him, through our God that reigns, you can be free. You're proclaiming good news, glad tidings of good things. You can be free because our God reigns. Exaltation. The song has to do with exaltation, that you can be free through Jesus. He had no stately form. He had no majesty that we should be drawn to Him. He was despised, and we took no account of Him. Yet now He reigns with the Most High. Passage certainly draws our minds back to Isaiah chapter 53 and the suffering servant and the picture of him. And I couldn't help when I was reading this verse thinking about the contrast of the first king of Israel with the last king of Israel. You remember as Israel asked for a king in 1 Samuel chapter 8, that Samuel warned the people and God said, listen, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. Give them what they want. And as the people began, as Samuel began to tell them all everything that he was going to take, the people said, that's okay, we still want that king. And Samuel anoints Saul. Samuel anoints Saul, and you know, Disney can't make it, but 1 Samuel chapter 9, you get this picture, this beautiful picture that whenever it is that that the family of Kish is selected and they said, where's the guy? And God says, there he is, he's hiding in the baggage. And can you imagine, again, Disney can't fabricate it. Here's this man that stands up and he keeps on going. He gets taller and taller and taller. And from the very first, he is head and shoulders and he's handsome and he's a good-looking guy. And when Samuel says, this is your king, the people say, long live the king. That king God rejected. When Pilate took a bruised and bloodied Jesus, when he took him out and had laid those stripes on his back and stood him before the Jewish people, and he said, behold, your king, people said, away with him. He's not our king. Crucify him. That's the king God accepted. That's the king that God said is the king of all. And it is that God took the king that nobody wanted, and He made them the king of all. The one who identifies with us. The one who was tempted like us. The one who hurt and sorrowed like us. The one who appeals to us. The one who went in place of us. Christ died for us. This is the king who washed feet, even the feet of the one who would betray him. He was the one who went and touched the lepers and touched the prostitutes and the lame and the tax collectors and the sinners. He was the one who sat and ate with them. And now this is the one that God has highly exalted. And our job as day runners, as couriers, as heralds, is to bring that message to other people. I think about the politician that made his case and really won the election with a single phrase. I feel your pain. People want somebody that they can identify with. And it is the fact that God has given Jesus. Peter proclaims God has made this Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. As Jesus' favorite self-title, the Son of Man, he is able to relate to us. And our mission as runners is through the foolishness of the message preached, the foolishness of the cross, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we let people know that our God reigns. Final point. It's a message of authentication. Out of the tomb, he came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See, hear his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know he is alive. Messengers with this good news. People want to know it's authentic, don't they? We want to know that it's authentic. I love those submarine movies. You know the ones where it is that they have a message that comes in on whatever the little thing is, and it comes in and the captain pulls it off and he says, all right, XO, I want you to go and I want you to break that thing and open it up. Is the message authentic? And the CO or the XO says, yes, the message authentic, authenticated, right? I had a panic moment just a few moments ago because I turned on my computer and there was a little pop-up that came up as it was trying to boot up over the hour that was trying to do it. And it said, this copy of Windows 7 is not authentic. Talk about heart stopping first thing in the morning, right? It went ahead and booted up anyway. So even then, I don't know. People want to know that the message that they have and what they have is genuine. After 8 days, Jesus was there in the house again with his disciples, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your hands in here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The message of the book of Acts is completely based upon and built upon the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. The cornerstone of everything that we do religiously as Christians, we know this. We know the resurrection was not faked. We know it was factual. And what follows is the exaltation of Christ, that our God reigns. And as Peter and John spoke, stood before the council of Jews and said, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. So it is, we also cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and we've heard. Brothers and sisters, brothers that preach on a very practical level, let me say this. More than ever, people want to know and need to know that what they've believed in is authentic, is genuine, is the real deal. Let me encourage you, if you haven't done it in a while, preach a series called Faith Booster Shots. How do I know there is a God? The historical Jesus, Christian evidences, witnesses to the resurrection. Brother Carl Garner years ago gave us the sermon title from the words of Pilate, make it secure as you know how. And how for 2,000 years the devil's been trying to put Jesus back in that tomb. But we continue to declare our God is not there in that tomb. Our God is alive and our God reigns. Preach lessons on the problem of evil, pain, and suffering. Preach lessons on the surety and fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Preach lessons on geography like Brother John Moore did last night. Preach lessons on archaeology about the walls came a-tumbling down, the evidences from Jericho. Preach lessons that help build assurance on the fact that our God reigns, our God is alive. We can have this understanding that the message that we're preaching and teaching is authenticated. The resurrection of Jesus proves it. Preach lessons and study 1 John. Study 1 and 2 Peter. Face them under fire. Study the book of Jude. There's confident knowledge that's going to be the cornerstone of a confident faith. We don't assume knowledge of these things that they're real, but we remind Christians, lesson Christians, the message is authenticated. It's real. coupled with this, message is authentic, our God reigns, you now go and you make a difference. You go and you change the world. I want us as day runners, as heralds, as this, given this sacred responsibility, to be able to say at the end of our lives, like Paul, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now I'm going to be with God who reigns.